You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School, episode 275, Feng Shui Qi Forecast for May 2024. Welcome to episode 275 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Angie Cho and Laura Morris are the founders of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School and authors of Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of feng shui. We teach feng shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Sign up for our mailing list for special free content, workshops, and events available only to our newsletter subscribers. You can go to our show notes or visit mindfuldesignschool.com/join to join our mailing list. So welcome to May. May is coming in and it's time again for our monthly Qi forecast. So Laura, please take it away.
Hello, everybody. We are into May. So just to recap what we're doing, this is our monthly Qi forecast. We've been doing it for a while now. And what we do is we review what is happening in nature by looking at the solar terms, as well as looking at what the moon cycle is. We talk a little bit about the zodiac animals and then overall the energy of the month. And then Angie or I or me, we do a reading. And so this month it's me and I am doing a tarot card reading. So to get started, we begin with the key solar dates, the key dates, which are the solar terms and the moon cycle. So for May, the first solar term, which is the Chinese solar term, is called the beginning of summer. For some of you, May 6th may not feel like the beginning of summer, but it's that beginning of the energy start beginning to shift and spring energy kind of diminishing. And you can see that in maybe some spring flowers beginning to fade. And, you know, new flowers blooming. So this is a time to celebrate the arrival of summer. And we always encourage our listeners to look at what is happening where you live. So, you know, this is a time where it might be for many of us too early for you to plant, you know, sensitive flowers in your garden, but you might also live in a place where everything is in full bloom right now. So what we encourage you to do is to look at what are the signs around you that summer has arrived, and it's going to be different for everyone. So where I am, you know, early May is too early in Canada, where I'm in Canada, it's too early to plant more sensitive annuals in our flower beds and our gardens and our containers. Instead, we're going to look at primroses and violets that are going to be blooming. And then maybe I will notice that the tulips might be fading or diminishing or losing their bloom. And then we move into 2 weeks later, we move into May 20th, which is called small harvest. It's also referred to as grain full or grain buds. As the name sort of evokes, it's this time when the crops that were planted very early, again, it depends on the climate, they're really starting to show their growth. They're not fully grown, but they're definitely taller and stronger and displaying this, you know, vital energy that's just continuing to go. Days are even longer. This time of year is really important for farmers. If there is enough rainfall, they need this for later on, you know, during the season, the long kind of planting and growing season. And May 20th, you know, sort of end of May, depending on where you live, is a time when most gardeners are out really doing, you know, their planting and, you know, lots of yard work. And it's really when those flowers, those summer flowers are starting to come into bloom. And then the full moon, May 23rd, is actually called the flower moon. So the overall feeling of this month is that blooming, you know, that really like abundant, early, beautiful, lovely, early summer that's coming forward for us. And again, you know, a lot of us, depending on where you live, May is really the first, like when you actually feel like, you know, the warmth is here and the sun is long enough and you feel, you know, warm and you can get out, maybe wear a t-shirt. So It's a great month. I love May. It's one of my favorites. And also in the month of May, we talk a little bit about the zodiac animals.
So for the month of May, the animal that is associated with the month of May is the snake. So this means that it will be a month of supportive chi for those born in the year of the monkey. And since snake is also in harmony with rooster and ox, if you're born in the year of the rooster and the ox, May is also a very supportive year and harmonious with your chi. So that said, the two animals with the most challenging relationship with the snake is pig and tiger. So if you're born in the year of pig and tiger, just be careful and take care of yourself this month.
Overall, the chi of May, yay May, beautiful May, all that rain that we went through is now displaying its, you know, its joy, its fragrance, its color, its flowers. It is a beautiful time. And with that emergence of this fire chi, so we talked a lot about the springtime is really when that wood chi is arriving. We're actually, with summer coming, this is, you know, small fire chi is starting to gather and build. So I will be doing, or I pulled two cards for the tarot reading for this month. And the question I actually asked was a little bit inspired by, you know, the time and the month and the qualities of May. And so I asked, how can we, as the listeners, the podcast listeners, how can we tap into more abundance and joy? And I did the reading a little bit differently. I usually pull a major and a minor arcana. This month I decided I'm just going to pull two cards answering that question. And these two cards, when you do a two card spread in this way, there's different ways you can do it, but essentially I'm just going to read the two cards and then how they inform each other, right? So when you read card one, it means this. When you read card two, it means this. And when you read them together, what does it mean, right? As kind of an equation, one card one plus card two equals X, right? Equals the answer, right? Or the insight. So card one that I pulled is the Three of Cups. So just to describe this card a little bit, because it's important for those of you that aren't familiar with the tarot or don't know this particular card. And again, I'm looking at the more traditional deck, the Rider-Waite-Coleman deck. There are three women, each holding a cup, and they're cheersing each, you know, it's very abundant. The colors are red and yellow, and they're each holding their cup up in celebration. Right? They are pledging to each other. You know, there's flowers and fruit all around them. So it's a card that is symbolic of joy, of celebration, of celebrating a small harvest, which is interesting because that's actually the solar term for this month. It speaks to allowing yourself to celebrate and be happy about accomplishments, even when they're small, to find abundance in your victories, your accomplishments right now. And that the flowers in bloom and the fruits all speak to that now, right? That time is now part of the card. And the three women together surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals that support you, right? Pledging to each other, supporting each other, being there for each other. And that as a way to gain abundance, right? And then the second card I pulled, which is really interesting, is the Five of Swords. To describe this card again, so it's a swords, it's a metal or an air card. It is a very different energy. It has three men, one who has stolen the swords of the other two in the distance, and they're walking away. So it appears one has won and two have been defeated. So this card is typically read as, you may have won something, but at what cost? So it's referred to as a Pyrrhic victory, right? Yeah, you've won, but you didn't really gain a whole lot from it. And this card could mean you could be the parties walking away in defeat, or you could be the party that's gained this so-called victory. And yes, the card has to do with defeat, but it's a five, so it's quick. Right? Fives don't last very long. The number five. So it's a Five of Swords. So that means that whatever has happened is very quick. There's also the element of wanting what others have, of resentment. So it's a really different energy from the first card.
So what does it mean when you read these two cards together? So they're two totally different ways to approach life. And there are two different ways to approach abundance, right? And joy. The first one, surround yourself with supportive people. So they all want you to succeed, right? Surround yourself with people that want you to succeed and you want your friends to succeed, and finding contentment and joy in every day. As opposed to the other card, the Five of Swords, which is, you know, always looking at what others have and maybe wanting that, or, you know, comparing yourself to others. So stop comparing yourself to others, stop and being resentful, because you have abundance all around you. And to understand that life is not a zero-sum game. So, you know, you don't need to take from others so that, you know, there's enough abundance to go around. You don't need to take or belittle someone or tear others down in order to make yourself bigger. Right? And when you support others, you also succeed. And I always like this saying that by blowing someone else's candle out, you won't actually make yours burn brighter. So I think this reading is an interesting lesson in asking about how can we tap in to this joy, this abundance. It's by using the lessons from both cards read together of how do you want to see your abundance around you? What is your mindset? Are you embracing the idea of if I help others, I also will be helped? Or are you a little bit more, I don't know, tight with your wishes and your wanting, you know, maybe being even a little bit worried to part with things with, you know, the concern that maybe there's not enough to go around. And so these cards, this card, I think this reading really tells you that you should, I think when we pledge to each other for the success and when we work to support one another, we all succeed, right? So take what you will from that reading, but I thought it was really interesting pulling those two cards. Both cards have three figures on them, different colors in them, but and different energies totally, but it was like two sides of a coin in terms of how you look at abundance, I think.
Thank you, Laura. And I think one way that we can begin to explore this in our homes through the lens of feng shui is looking at two areas of the Bagua map that relate to what you talked about in your reading. And I heard a lot about helpful people and abundance, right? And so there's an area of the feng shui Bagua map called helpful people. In Chinese, it's called Chen. It's also related to benefactors. And it's actually very intimately connected to another area of the feng shui Bagua mandala. It's called Shun, and it relates to wealth, abundance. And so feng shui practitioners understand that those two are connected on the mandala very intimately. But it makes sense too, because in order to really feel abundant, you need the support of people, you need benefactors, and that when you have so much abundance, you become a helpful person and a generous person. So there's those nuances. And then one thing that I always like to point out is that people tend to just see helpful people and wealth on one level. A lot of Laura's reading was talking about looking at almost the duality of things, right? And that's often what comes up with feng shui. And so I remind my students that sometimes people think helpful people area of the mandala, the Bagua mandala, is about getting more people to be helpful to you. But it can also mean, are you a helpful person? Can you become more helpful to others? It can also invite you to have curiosity about, am I being too helpful? Do I give too much unsolicited feedback? Do I need to help myself first? Or it could be an investigation in understanding, like, am I able to accept help from others? Am I too self-sufficient that I never ask for help when I actually need it? And when can I find that support? So, and it goes further. That's just a few examples. So I think this month that we have an invitation to explore what it is to be a helpful person, if you can accept help, if you're too helpful, and so forth. And then see how that reflects upon your feelings of abundance, your ability to receive abundance. And abundance isn't necessarily about financial abundance. And of course, that's connected, but it's like the idea of having a fruit tree that you have so much. Or like recently, I've been pruning my plants and repotting them. And I have, like, especially with pothos, I have so much pothos. I made like maybe like 10 or 20 little pots of pothos cuttings to give away. You just have so much that you just want to find everyone and give and offer and be so generous. So really kind of looking at that. And so how you can also explore this in your home is see where those Bagua mandala areas happen in your home and what's happening there. What's going on? What's happening in the wealth area of your home? What's happening in the wealth area of your desk, which is related to the career? Or what's happening in the wealth area of your bedroom, which relates to you, or the wealth area of your child, maybe. And similarly, you can look at the benefactors, helpful people area of your home, your desk, your bedroom, your bed, and so forth.
Yeah, and I would say you could take it even a little bit further too, if you wanted. So once you figured out what's going on in those two areas, because we talked in this reading about abundance, you could, if you can locate your wealth area, you can take inspiration from card number one, which was the Three of Cups, where it was flowers in full bloom and fruits in, you know, sort of ripe and ready. And that's the right now part of the card. And it's appreciating what you have right now and not always feeling this sense of longing and, oh, maybe I want that over there, I can't have this. And see, you know, appreciate what you have right now. Maybe get a bowl of fruit and place it in the abundance area. Maybe get some flowers that are in bloom and add them to your wealth abundance area. And then take some time to reflect on what you have right now that is, you know, contributing, that is bringing you joy, that you are grateful for, that you have, as Angie said, you know, like her pothos plants. It sounds so small, but it's, what do you feel abundant about and feel really warm and fuzzy and joyful for? And, you know, represent it with a bouquet of flowers in full bloom to really speak to right now, which is the inspiration from the card.
And what's one of your favorite flowers right now, Laura, to have in your home?
Ooh, right now. Peonies are going to be coming in soon. Mm-hmm. I guess it's too early now, but they should be by the end of the month, well, and into June. But right now in full bloom, I would probably get a pot of purple violets right now. Because it's, you know, in there, first of all, where I am, they're easy to find because it's like, you know, you can put them outside because they weather well in this kind of weather. But if they're purple, I think I would do purple violet right now.
So potted is okay in this.
Yeah.
Your suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some tulips right now, which are, you know, moving out of season, at least in New York, they're moving out. And I have some green ball carnations, and I have some chrysanthemums right now. So, well, thank you so much, Laura, for sharing your tarot wisdom with us today, and happy May to everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of our podcast, the Holistic Spaces Podcast. You can tune in every Monday for a new episode. If you like our podcast, please leave a review. Oh, we haven't done a shout out in a while. Please leave a review, and things like that help so much because, you know, it gets people to try listening to us more. And we really appreciate it, and we like hearing from you. So we have a recent review from Meg MKE, and she said, listen to this podcast. This podcast has so many layers to it. The episodes unravel naturally and try to keep providing you with more insight to feng shui and to the world. There are some spiritual topics handled in an educational and embodied way. This is becoming one of my favorite podcasts. So thank you so much. And I'll just read one more from T. Smith Chambers. This podcast is providing positive new energy for my home. It's bringing awareness of things that may help me to feel more grounded, energized, and supported. I feel blessed to have found this podcast. So thank you so much to both T. Smith Chambers and Meg MKE. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week.